So again, the version that you're downloading is 217. The version that the school has is 215. You might see some minor differences. I was away, so I didn't download it last weekend, but I will download it tomorrow and see if there's anything that looks strange. So, once you've opened Visual Studio, we're going to open a project. And let's go and look. That loaded actually fast. I thought we were going to have some time. Here is where we are. We have covered these top four. So we're going to look at work areas, user input, and arrays. And then we'll see if we get any further than that. But those three you can download. Visual Studio is waiting for an internal operation to complete. Are any of you having that problem? The first one I'm going to... Well, if you go back to my site, let me see if I can... No, it's still giving me trouble. I'm going to just read. Or maybe I'm then again, maybe I'm not. We're looking at work areas, user input, and department array. That is presuming that mine will decide to open. Yes, it did. Whatever. So we're looking at work areas. Okay, so when you go to do this, you've downloaded work areas. You click on work areas. Then the one that comes up that has the I.O. is the one you click on to load. The one that kind of has the little icons. And again, I want Solution Explorer as opposed to Tabular Module, and I don't know why they have it set up that way for me. I don't think they did that to you, did they? Okay. Come on. This is painful. Yes. Okay. So on this one, again, when I am doing this, I bring over the toolbox, and when I want the toolbox, I click on the toolbox, and I click on the little pin so that it puts it in place. And it's just having a really hard time today. All right, maybe I won't click on the pin. I don't really need it for this one anyway. Wow. Okay. And I click on common controls, and I can drag over the things that I need. Okay, and the things that we're dealing with in this class are basically labels, text boxes, and buttons. Okay, there are a lot of other tools that we get into in the Visual Basic class, but for now we're just dealing with those because those give me a way to take in data and process it, which is really what I want to do. So I've got labels for first, second, and third. I've got text boxes for all of them as well. I've got buttons so that I can do comparisons. And with answer, I decided to make it stand out. So if I click on the word answer here and look over to the side, I now have the LBL answer. And you can see that I basically wrote the word answer. And then I went up. Good. I went up and I found, I've got these, I should put this on A to Z. At least that's the way I like to work. One of them groups things. I'm not too thrilled with the way they group all the time. So I like alphabetical, that I can find it more easily, alphabetical. And so if I go up here, I see that the font has been made black and font color, and the font itself. So I'm going to click on the font itself, and the three little dots is what I click on. And if I click on those three little dots, it shows me that I made it bold and that I made it a specific size and a specific font. I can choose any font that I want, bold, and I can pick a size that I want. Okay? So I did that with answer so that I could have that. Okay, now my checks. If I go in and click on the button, I will see the code. Okay, so as soon as I click on the button, I see the code. If I do not have any buttons, or if I want to make a new button, then I just click on the button and it will open a new area called private sub, the name of the button, underscore click, and it will put in the end sub. And then I have to put in the stuff in between. Okay? So this is similar to what we did the last time, except I've got a little bit more math going on here. So I have on the first one that I want to add first and second, and I want to divide by third. Okay? So, one of these is going to work, and one of these has some issues in it. Okay. So we're going to try them and see how they work. So I'm going to come over and I'm going to click on start. So if I click on start while I can still see the code, then it is going to come up and I can look at the code at the same time that I'm entering things in. And this one is taking forever. Okay. I am going to close all of this stuff up. Notice the little box down there that my arrow is going back and forth over. That's what you click on to see the form. Okay, so now I can see the form and I can also see the code. So I'm going to put in 6, 4, and 2 and click check 1. And it's coming out with 10. Okay? So what I did there was I added 6 and 4 and I divided by 2. Okay, so I'm adding 6 and 4. So I'm adding 6 and 4 and dividing by 2. So the answer is 5, which works beautifully. Okay, now let's try the second one. Okay, so clear ink. If I go to the second one and I click on check 2, I'm getting the answer 8. So what happened here? Look at the code and tell me what you think is happening here. Check 1 got me 5. Check 2 is getting me 8. So what's going wrong?
Yeah. Divided before adding?
Yeah, exactly. I'm dividing before adding because notice there's no parenthesis around the whole divide. Okay? So there's no parenthesis around the divide. So what I'm doing there is 6 plus 4 divided by 2, and the hierarchy is that I do divides before I do adds. So I am getting a 2 for that. 6 plus 2 equals 8. Okay? So not putting those parentheses in is throwing off my calculation. Okay? Now, you have to use the C-I-N-T or C-V-E-C or VAL or something when you are doing addition. Just like in JavaScript, you had to use pass float or pass integer or something when you're doing addition. Division doesn't need it. So on this one, I didn't do the CIMT. On this one, I did. Those both were fine. It doesn't matter. I can always use the CIMT or the CDEC if I want decimal. That will always work. But what I can't do is not use it for an add. I have to use it for an add. Multiplication, subtraction, division, it's my option. Okay? And then we talked about the last time that we have to convert if we want to accurately decide what is bigger and what is less. Because the things on the form are in text boxes. And we have to, if we're dealing with numbers, convert them over to integer so that it knows their numbers and acts like their numbers. Okay? So, if I come in and I leave the 6, 4, and 2, and I hit compare, it tells me the first is bigger than the second. And that's true. And if I hit problem, it tells me the first is bigger than the second. So where's the problem? Okay, so now let's go back and put in a 0, 6 up here. Okay? And if I hit compare, it still tells me first is bigger than the second. But if I hit problem, it tells me the first is not bigger than the second. Because a text comparison compares the 0 to the 4. Okay? A integer comparison knows that it is a number and starts comparing with the unit's position. So it's like it was over here. If I've converted it, and it will compare the 6 and the 4, and will know that the 6 is bigger. But it is a problem. Okay? So those are the two things we went over. Okay, now I want you to try doing a couple of if statements with this. Okay, so I want you to, let's say, if I want to look for, let's see, the first is greater than the second, and the first is greater than the third. So put on another button and write the code that will test for first greater than second, first greater than third. And I don't know what I just did. Nope. There it goes. And if that's true, I'll put out an okay. Otherwise, I'll put in a off. Or something like that. So make another button and test for is first greater than second and is first greater than third. I want first to be greater than both of them. And then if you get that done, instead of an and, try it on an or. First greater than second, or first greater than third. So try it with an or. You now got an and, try it with an or. Okay, the first thing I have to do is put over a button. And since I know I'm going to have to put over two buttons, one for and one for or, I'm going to do them both together. So I'm going to call this button and. And I'm going to call it, change its text to just say and. And then I'm going to drag over another button and put it right underneath and call this one, give it the text of OR, and call this text OR. Okay, so I've got my two buttons set up. Text and text OR. So now I'm going to click on the AND. And when I clicked on the AND, it did as I said it was going to do. It made a subroutine saying button AND underscore click. Meaning when you click on this button, here's what's going to happen. Okay. So what am I going to do here? I'm writing if. And then I've got text first dot text. Actually, I want to convert it. So I'm going to put C integer text first dot text. Okay. Is greater than and notice it very nicely puts in the then for me. Okay? The years Visual Basic can do that, and I always remember then. Now it puts it in for me. So what am I putting next? And notice it also put in the end if for me. Sometimes, like Microsoft, it gets overly helpful, and I, you know, have to erase what it does, but in this case, that's fine. So now what do I put for the second if statement? Ah, come on, somebody. Okay, so if, and again, I'm going to use C-I-N-T, and notice if I type it all in lowercase, it fixes that for me. It's very helpful. Is greater than okay. So now I've got the two questions answered, and I want to say the text answer dot text is going to be equal to okay. What?
You said on and off?
Yeah, I thought I said okay, but if you put on and off, that's fine.
Also, text second. Text third.
You're right. Keep going. Keep correcting. It's a good thing to have. Okay, so now what do I got to put in here? It didn't put in else's for me automatically, because it doesn't know that I'm going to want, whether or not I'm going to need else's. But I wanted to say else off or something like that. So I'm saying else text answer dot text equals off. Okay? Now, where do I put, maybe that's what the problem is that this keeps, has slowed things down from my last class. Okay. Now what else do I need to have in here? What is it going to do if text first dot text is not greater than text second dot text? It's going to drop right out. And if that's not what I want, right? So I wanted an else on that one. So where do I put the else? Oh, somebody give it a guess. Yeah, after, not the next one, right after that one. So I'm going to put it in here. And notice how it nicely positions for me. this else is under the inner if. The else I just added is under the outer if. It very nicely positions for me. And if it doesn't position for me correctly, then I gotta fix it. Text answer dot text equals off.
We could have compounded that sentence.
Yes, you could have. And if you wanted to compound this, you could have easily compounded this. And we can look at that in a minute. So this is now set up for an and. Okay? Then I'm going to go back to my form, and I'm going to double-click on the or. And when I double-click on the or, it makes me another subroutine. This one is text or underscore click. Okay? So, I'm going to start out, and I'm going to have the same first question. So I'm going to just copy and paste it in. And if either one of them is greater, then it's okay. So I'm going to write text answer dot text equals okay. Okay. Else. What do I put in here for the else? Huh? No. Because I've got another chance, right? My next chance is that this is true, right? Either one of those can be true. So I'm putting in, if the first one is true, then I write okay. Else, I ask the second one. Because I wanted to ask one or the other. So on that one, I'm also going to say text answer dot text equals okay. Okay, now if this isn't true, this is when I've run out of chances. Okay, so I asked if the first one is true, then it's okay. Else, if the second one is true, then it's okay. Else, I'm going to say you've run out of chances, so text answer dot text equals off. Okay? So I've run out of the first two chances. If it's the first one, then I say okay. Else, I ask about the second. So I'm asking, is the first greater than the second? If it is, then I'm saying okay. If the answer is no, I've got another chance. Is the first greater than the third? And if it is, it's also okay. If it's not, then it is off. What I have there. If the first is greater than the second, it's okay. Else, if the first is greater than the third, it's okay. Else, it's a problem. Okay? Now, if I want to make these a compound, I can go in and compound them. Okay, so instead of doing if first is greater than, I can say and. Okay, so now I have said if first is greater than second and. First is greater than third. Okay, so I can say either one. And obviously I could have put them all on one line, but I was going to run out of room. So I didn't put them all on one line. And I don't need all of the bottom part. Come on, and if you should be over here. So if the first is greater than the second and the first is greater than the third, then it's okay, else it's off. Okay? And with the second one, if I want to compound it, I can say, or actually, I still want to keep it down below. Change this and say, if the first is greater than the second, or the first is greater than the third, then it's okay, else it's off. Okay. So what's going to go to okay? Up here, when I have two questions, I can have Y and Y and N and Y, and N, right? I can have yes to both questions, so that's Y and Y. I can have yes to one question, no to the second. I can have no to the first and yes to the second, or I can have both no's. The Y is the only thing that gets me an okay when I'm asking and. And these other three get me the off. When I'm asking or, these three all have one that's true, so they get me the okay, and only this bottom one gets me the off. Because one or the other being true, yes, yes, one of them's true. Yes, no, one of them's true. No, yes, one of them's true. No, no, neither of them are true, so that's an off. Does that make sense? You are very quiet today, people. Does that make any sense? Yes, yes, no, no? Okay. Okay, the other thing about this is the location of the work answer. Okay. Work answer is global. And global means that it can then be used in any subroutine. So it's now global. Okay. Now, if I change that and I copy and paste this and I put it inside the first subroutine, okay? So I've got dim work answer as double in there, and I'm going to take it out of the global area, okay? Notice what happened when I did that. I got a curly line under word answer down here. Because when I made it local, okay, this one I have made local. And this one cannot see it. Because this is in a different subroutine. So it can't see it. So it won't work. And it warns you, very nicely warns you about this by telling you that it puts the little red squiggly lines under it, which says, I don't know what work answer is. Okay. So once I put it local, it works up here because it's local up here. But it doesn't work here because it can't see it. It's locally defined, and so it can't see it. Okay, so if I try to run this now, there were build errors. Would you like to continue and run the last successful build? And I'm going to say no, because if there's errors, I want to see them. And it's now showing me the errors. Okay, so there are the errors. Work answer is not declared. And then it gives you a guess as to why, but the big thing is it's not declared. And so I know the work answer is not declared. It can't see it. And so that tells me I can fix this in two ways. I can either define work answer a second time in the second routine. So I can take down here, take work answer as double and put it in down here, and then it can see its own work answer. Or I can make it global the way it was to start out with. And if I make it global, then it can see it. Questions? Okay, so now let's go and look at the next one, which is input-output. So I'm going to close the solution, and I'm going to go back in here, and I'm going to open a project, and I'm going to look for the one called input-output. On the E drive. User input, sorry. It wasn't input output, it was user input. And again, I'm clicking on the one that says VBIO. This is allowing me to bring in data. Okay? So if I run this, okay, this did not have any place to enter in the information that I want about pay. It just has a place to enter the person's name. And if I click to calculate their pay. So I'm going to enter the person's name, John. And I'm going to then click. And as soon as I click, I get a box up. Okay, so what I've got here is an input box, which is the same as a prompt in JavaScript. Okay? So usually I would put all of the information on the form and let them key into the boxes on the form. But if I don't want to do that, I can use input boxes. So I'm going to put in 40 and click OK. And then it comes back immediately and asks me for the pay per hour. I'll put in 40 again and click OK. And it comes back and tells me that the pay is $1,600. And notice how it does that. I said format for currency. So when I told it to take the gross pay and format for currency, I get the dollar sign and the comma. Okay? So on this one, I defined three work areas. All of them I defined as decimals. And then I put up the input box to take in the data. And then the first inbox box assigned the first thing to the work hours that I had defined. The second input box put it in work paper hour, which I defined. Then I did the math and put it in work gross. And then I said, okay, now format work gross as currency and put it out into the text box. Okay. Questions? Okay. So, the other thing that I can do in here is if I want to, I can put up a message box. And the message box is going to say work gross pay. Okay. So now if I run it, I'm saying Susan and click here and 45 and notice that I am now getting the message box, and the message box is showing the work gross pay. I didn't format it there, I just said show it. So the message box is similar to the alert in JavaScript, and the input box is equivalent to the prompt in JavaScript. Now, one of the reasons we have you look at two languages here is so that you will see the commonality, okay? In JavaScript, I define variables with a var. Here, I'm defining them with a dim. I have an input box that has a prompt. I have a message box, it has an alert. Yeah?
So we would use message box to the log source to what you would describe?
Yes. Yep. Okay. So that gives me input directly from the user in a pop-up as opposed to writing it on the form if that's what I want to see. Okay.
Okay. The next one I want to look at is an array. So I'm going to close the solution and I'm going to open the project, and it is called, let me go back and look and see what it's called, Department Array. So I'm opening Department Array. Now there's a couple of things that happened here.
First of all, notice that this one says form department array load, and it has the word load there as opposed to click. Okay, if I click any blank place on the form, it will do that. So if I click on a blank place on the form, it will make the array, I mean it will make the subroutine for load. And here's the name of the form, and it's a load. So basically, this is done once at the start. Or it can be called housekeeping. So anything I put on the load is done when the program starts, when it loads. So I want to create an array. So I told it I wanted to do that on a load. I didn't want to have to click a button to create it. I wanted to do it when the form got loaded.
And so double clicking in a blank spot on the form will create the load subroutine. Okay? And so now I've got the load. So up here at the top, I define department array 5, and I define it as string, which is like text, string and text. So I defined it as a string. And then I said, okay, now I want a string of 5. And so I've got a string of 5. Now I decided not to use 0. I could have put a department name 0 there, but I decided not to use 0 because most stores don't have department 0. Okay, so I have departments 1 through 5. So again, what this is I set up an array. And 1 is going to be girls. 2 is going to be boys. 3 is going to be infants. 4 is going to be toys. 5 is going to be books. So this is the array. Now every one of these has the same name. They are all called department name. So every one of them has the same name. And I get away with that just like I can get away with it in JavaScript by having that number tell which one it is I want. So department name modified by 1 is the first slot, since I don't have a 0 slot. Department name modified by 2 is boys. Department name modified by 3 is infants. Department name modified by 4 is toys. I can never refer to department name without a number after it, because then it would say which one. I don't know which one you're talking about. There are 5 of them. Which one are you talking about? But once I put the number in, it will know. And the way I put the number in is I say, department name first slot is girls. Department name second slot is boys. Department name third slot is infants, and so forth. Okay? So I set it up to hold that. Then I came down and I said, okay, if department name in the get name, actually let me go and look back at the form again. Okay, so if I look at the form, I am putting in a department number, and I'm going to put in a number from 1 to 5. And click on get department name, and it will get me the department name. Okay. So now I'm going to go back and look at the form again. Look at the code again. Okay. So get name is saying, I want to make sure that this is a valid number. So the value that's in textDepartment.txt needs to be greater than 0, and the value in there has to be less than 6. So therefore, it's going to be a number from 1 to 5. And if it is, then I'm going to use the number that you typed in on the form and say get the department name with that number after it. So if it's a 3, I get infants. If it's a 5, I get books. If it didn't meet my check, then I say invalid department number. To clear things out, I have a button clear, and it just says text department number dot clear, text department name dot clear. And the one that exits just says end. In another one that I gave you, I use me close there. The close. close had the two parentheses after it because it was a function like the Clio. Me close would close it, and end will close it. Questions? Okay, let's see if you can do this in 15 minutes. Go in and modify this program, but this time I want you to come in and type in a day of the week, and I want you to print out what day it is. So I want you to take in the number 1 to 7, and depending on what number you put in, I want you to take out Monday, the word Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, etc. Okay? So I want you to take this program and modify it so that somebody puts in the day of the week with a number and you put out the name of that day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And you can either make Sundays 1 or 7. I make it 7, so...
Okay. So, what did you change?
Then added two department names and then just go less than six.
Right, but what did you have to change up here?
The 10 is a string of 5.
You have to change that to a 7, okay? Because you now got 7. You got to add in the 6 and the 7 down here to make the 7 days. And then you have to change this to be what? And less than 8. Okay, because up through 7 is legitimate. And that's all you have to do. You have to make those changes to it. And obviously, if you were doing it for real, you would call it day and week instead of department name and a few other things like that to make it a little bit nicer. But the main thing you have to do is make those changes. And then change all of the literals to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, etc. Okay?